Commercial whaling in the 19th and early 20th centuries was so extensive that it led to the near extinction of many whale species. It was eventually banned in 1986 by the International Whaling Commission. The original plan was that there would be a moratorium on hunting while a form of sustainable whaling was developed. But this never happened. Scientists showed that whale numbers were so low and the populations so slow to recover that no whaling could be considered sustainable. Despite this, Norway, Iceland and Japan still hunt around 1,500 whales per year. One of the most threatened species is the right whale, which, although it's protected from hunting, is still suffering as a result of human impact. Marine biologist Alice Forrest.
So the history of right whales is similar to that of many whales, in that they were extensively hunted for a long time and their populations got to an incredibly low level, to the brink of extinction. Right whales in particular were targeted. That's where they get their name from, the right whale, because they were the right one to hunt. They're really easy, they're big, they bob around at the surface, they're a big target. Again, they're close family bonds, so if one whale is killed, the others won't flee. Often they'll come, like if they get a calf, the mother will come in, like horrible things like that. So basically the populations of these whales were decimated and they haven't really recovered. So in the 80s, the world basically got together and said, enough is enough, we have to stop hunting them before they're wiped out. And since then, generally, whaling has stopped. There are a few nations that are still whaling, but right whales aren't targeted. And the reason for that is just there's not any left. There's a few, but they're very scarce. They're very hard to see. Many whale species haven't really recovered. The humpback populations have shot up again. They're doing really well. But most other whale species are really slow to recover and haven't really come back since whaling.
And where generally are you going to see most of the right whales?
So here in the Northern Hemisphere, there are a few places you may see right whales, one of them being in the Northern Atlantic Ocean. Throughout the Atlantic, there's always a possibility you could see them, but it is very low. In the Southern Hemisphere, there's another species of southern right whale, which is slightly more common, but the northern right whale is really endangered and just difficult to see pretty much anywhere.
So they're protected in terms of they're not being hunted, but are they protected enough?
That's a great question. So while they are protected from being hunted, there are so many other threats that are still impacting them. And that's one of the reasons their population hasn't come back. So we all know about plastic pollution now. We know that that's a huge problem. So both the whales eating the plastics, becoming entangled, and also the kind of more hidden problem of eating smaller bits of plastic and the pollutants moving into their system and causing potential harm. There's also things like ghost nets, so fishing nets that have been discarded accidentally or on purpose that basically just continue floating in the ocean and catching and drowning whatever they find. So the ghost nets are a huge issue for a lot of marine life. The pollutants are another big one. So a lot of the unseen things that we use, the chemicals, the flame retardants, all sorts of things, end up in our oceans. And we can't see them, so I think we don't realize the big impact that they have on these large marine mammals. And then sound is another really huge issue for these whales. So they use sound as probably their primary sense. They communicate with sound, but also, for example, the toothed whales, they use it to actually see under the water. And then for the bigger whales, the sound, it travels in a massive way under the water. So sound travels much more quickly under the water than it does on land. So things like shipping or sonar or military testing, those sounds travel a long way and they can actually cause physical harm to the animals if the animals are close enough. So there's been mass strandings in several incidences where sonar has been used and then these animals, basically their eardrums have exploded, or they've had, to a lesser extent, maybe they've had decreased ability to feed because there's been sound where they wanted to feed, and then that impacts the likelihood of their survival. So there's all sorts of impacts like that constantly going on under the sea. And the shipping, of course, as well. So ship strike is a big one for these animals too.
And what's being done with those particular problems? So you said we know they are problems. We know that they affect them. What are we doing about it?
So there are some things that we're doing about it. Here in the North Atlantic, there are speed restrictions on areas with the northern right whale. So where we know that they are potentially going to be, there's restrictions on how fast ships can go to try and reduce the incidence of ship strikes. I think there are things slowly that countries are doing to reduce things like pollution and plastic pollution and ghost nets. But I think the biggest impact, in my opinion, that we're seeing in that area is from individuals and individual changes. Small grassroots organizations that are doing things like cleaning up the ghost nets or changing their community to go plastic bag free or whatever it might be. I think those changes really do make a huge impact on a larger scale and put pressure on governments to implement those bigger changes that we need to make a difference.
That's marine biologist Alice Forrest.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.